We're congregating here, so give us just a second. Say again, Brenda.
Brenda, Dan,
Cam, and Jeff. And then I know Vernon and Phil were.
This is Phil.
Okay.
This is Vernon.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I just figure out how to get back on this thing.
Ready.
Okay, I'm going to reconvene our meeting.
Mr. Cavio has agreed to give us our invocation today.
I'd like to pray with me. Good Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this awesome opportunity to serve on this board. I pray that you are with us meeting today, Lord, and I pray that you will have everyone here and their extended family as they go into the Christmas season. Keep everyone healthy and safe. Please be with those families that need you now, Lord, for the healing of this crazy disease that's going on, Lord. I pray that you watch over our students, all the faculty, staff, administration, keep them healthy and safe and bring them back to us after the holiday season. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity once again to serve here as these fellow board members. And I pray that you keep giving us the wisdom to do what's right your way. And I ask you to pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, thank you.
Hey, I don't see
any guests that haven't been here before.
And, Mr. Chairman, you do have several on the line.
Do we?
Yes. We have four of the board members that are calling in, Brenda and Danny and Pam and Jamie. And then you'll have Vernon and Phil who are on the line, and they'll be up later. Iris, are you on or Amanda?
She's here.
Oh. Hi there, Iris. How are you? Sorry about that. And see you. Mark, did you get back on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9. Eric's on. Yeah. So anyway, so yes, you have about 11 people.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Glad you're here.
Any input anybody wants to do right now? If not, we'll go to our first item on the agenda. Just our routine matter. You've had a chance to go through those, read them, and digest them, I hope. We had a good executive session that explained a lot of it. I need a vote to approve those.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business, hail damage, roof repairs, and replacement project update change orders.
All right, Mr. Chairman. As you all know, back at the October meeting, you had approved the roof contractor and process, and everything has been very busy since then. We had our first at the November 17th, had our first meeting with the contractor and several of those individuals involved, and Vernon and Phil were here. And Terry, you want to give a brief update? I have shared some of this with the board, but do you want to go ahead and just kind of give a brief update?
Well, the contractor
WCR has been on site both at SWID and Howard College now for about a week and a half. They're setting up their logistics. They're holding hands for equipment and supplies that are coming in. And they have begun working on roofs. The first work that was done was at SWID, and they vacuumed off 130 cubic yards of gravel, which is a lot. I think a cubic yard weighs about 2,200 pounds, so you do the math, and you have 13 dump truck loads of gravel. Since then, they've been working. They've continued to work at SWID and have begun working on this campus now, doing some preliminary work, getting ready for some of the patching. The work at SWID is in preparation for the regroup on the main building. But the work over here that's begun has been mostly in preparation for the patching that's going to be done. And the contractor, they're very conscious of the least disruption that they can do. It's been a real pleasure working with them. I definitely think we've got the right team. Having been through this a couple of times in the past, this one is really going smooth. So is that?
Yes, and then you want to go ahead and move into the change order work as well.
Okay. As you know, there was a change order proposed because the bid came in very favorably, and we had there were additional needs that were not included in the original bid package because we were just afraid that we might not be able to do it all. So the original bid package addressed the greatest needs. There were still needs that were supplemental to that or subordinate to that, and so when the board approved the bid packet, we said, okay, let's go ahead and try to address some of those additional needs. And I think there were 17 additional items for TWID and the rest at Howard, and We spent quite a bit of time looking at those change order options, and two of them we asked them to reprice because something didn't seem quite right, and they did in fact reprice those and reducing that cost greatly. It is our recommendation now to approve everything that's on change order number one, which was everything except for a small metal roof that covered an open-air fuel storage tank. And we just felt like rather than coating that roof, if it ever failed, if it started rusting or failed, we could replace the metal for actually even less than the coating would have cost. So as this change order number one that I believe you have in your packet,
I do.
Is a total for this campus, $600,142, and SWID, $200,913, for a total of $801,055. And that's within our ability to add to the project there. So we offer that for your consideration.
So on this roof, we're graveling it, or are you going to put a metal roof on the SWID?
Well, it's campus-wide.
Right.
That's of course. It's a combination.
Okay.
Many of the roofs now are sold off it. There was damage, and we will be doing repairs on some of those roofs. We're not replacing any metal roofs. The metal roofs that sustain damage, we're going to coat them with a high-tech elastomeric coating. It's got a fantastic guarantee on it. It's a really good product that was thoroughly researched. So So there'll be repairs to elastomeric, there'll be coatings on that roof, and that's pretty much the approach that we're taking. Some repairs, some replacements. The biggest replacement roof is the one on the Burke Administration Building that's with it. That was the roof that we felt that was hit in April of 2016. We had many leaks, many more leaks after that hailstorm. We were concerned and still are concerned about damage to the roof structure. And so we wanted to jump on that and get that done before any more damage could occur. And that will be, there's code upgrades with tapered insulation, and then re-roof on that with the modified product that's got a 25 plus year life.
Any further questions?
And we have Vernon and Phil again on the call. If there's anybody has any questions, Mr. Chairman, before you get to a point of asking for a motion, let me ask also for your consideration in construction projects in times past when we have a change order. Generally, they're not going to be of the magnitude like this one, but we have used the threshold of less than 50,000, because that's generally what we bring to you all by state requirement anyway, as far as having to go out for bids and things like that. This is a whole different thing, but we've used a threshold of about 50. So I would also like to ask your consideration of letting us use that threshold again so that that helps us move forward as this project progresses. If there's, I think you can tell that we're going to be very conscientious about, you know, checking things out and all that. And we, have great Vernon and Phil, great experts that are going to be leading us in all of this. But that will help us to continue to expedite the project along. Right now, with the change order, it has extended it into September of 2021. And so we'll, Brenda, I know you didn't like to hear me say that, but we want to be able to move things as quickly as we can along the way. And then what we always do in a scenario like this is we will bring those change orders back to the next board meeting so you'll know what those change orders are. So, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add that if someone's comfortable including that as a part of a motion.
Okay.
Can I just say something so that it's higher than benefit? Please remember, writing this stuff, all of this money.
Right.
Any other comments? I entertain a motion to approve this and also the recommendations of Dr. Clark. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Terry. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. Our next item on the agenda is new business, visiting and future direction, district vision, mission, values, and strategic planning.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and board members, you all know that we started the conversation about this is the substantive review time of our vision, mission, and values as a part of our overall strategic planning. And we think this is a very meaningful one because of the fact that we are celebrating our 75th anniversary, and we see this as a time that we're looking forward to another 75 years. As a part of that 75 years, this is the first 5 years of it. And so we know that we need to strategically plan how we move forward. And as you know, as board members, the first and foremost, you are the ones that set the vision for the college, and then we have the responsibility, those of us who are fortunate to serve, to put that vision in action. The mission statement is somewhat pretty well cut and dry because it is put together. Parts of it, the majority of it, come from the state of Texas. It's in statute. We do have a little bit of it that personalizes it to Howard College. But the vision statement, the values are very important because then they, then I would say, take that mission statement that is so, that is really the community colleges of the state of Texas. We put the Howard College SWID spin on what this college is going to be. And as a part of that process, we have a procedural calendar that we use, and that is policy 2.11 that we shared. And we do have, we update it along the way, and it has been, it's time to update it. So it, that is, again, just our process that we use in the planning and evaluation. Mr. Chairman, if you'll let me, I'll just go ahead and go through this whole thing.
Yes,
will
ma'am,
that work?
Please do.
Okay, and so you will officially approve that in just a minute. As we also mentioned at the board meeting previously, we wanted to start preparing you for the substantive review of the vision statement. And so we've been working on that. We suggested that we would get some questions together for you that would help you begin just pondering, thinking, as we move you into January, when we will have a more focused conversation then about what you believe as board members we need to be looking at. As you know, we're going to, as you've always encouraged, this is going to be an inclusive process. We want our students, we're going to get our students involved, we're going to get our communities involved, our employees, trying to gather information from them. But at the end of the day, when we have the final approval, it will be the vision statement that you feel is important. But you're going to have the opportunity to somewhat stake in the ground things that you think that are important that we need to be thinking about over the next few months. So, Brian, y'all remember that Brian Stokes has been working on all this, and Amy, this is part of what we do in that area. But Brian put together some questions, and then I don't think Brian's on the line, but I had to put a little spin on it. On some questions you all could start, again, pondering. And what I did is I took the questions that Brian put together, some framing thoughts, and then I just had recently read a book that was given to me by Michael Hyatt, The Vision-Driven Leader. And it has a lot of information in it about vision statements and mission statements and values and all that. And so there were a lot of things that caught my attention in that book that I think is very timely with what we're doing. And as I mentioned, that the vision statement needs to be clear, it needs to be inspirational, practical. Can it be embraced by you as a board as far as the leadership of the institution, throughout the college, and by its stakeholders? In other words, it's got to be believable. This is something we can do. And so the four questions to start considering: where do we see Howard College going in the next 5 years of this new 75-year span of opportunity? Consider that future and resultant strategic plan in relation to the students and communities we serve, our role in higher ed, human resources, facilities, and infrastructure, as well as fiscal resources. Two, what are the top institutional priorities for Howard College? Three, what problems does Howard College seek to solve? Four, and I did a little twist on this one. In this book, the author said to think in terms of the company that can put you out of business. And you need to be thinking who can put you out of business, basically. Who can make you irrelevant? So I tried to change that around and say, are there changes Howard College can make to resemble an institution that could make Howard College seem irrelevant? So we want to make sure that we, again, I don't think that any of our fellow colleges are trying to put us out of business, but the reality is if you are not making changes, if you're not moving forward, then you can become irrelevant. And so those are things that we would ask you all to start thinking about. And then in January, if you'll recall, that is when you do your annual evaluation as a board, your self-evaluation. And this year, the timing of it will include, you'll be able to, we'll start talking about these things. And then again, as we plan over the next few months, and you got your calendar of events, our timeline, what we intend to do, we will keep that in mind. Now, there may be some people that bring some things to the table you hadn't thought about, and you like those. As we get to April, and we will come back with a draft, and you will be able to see that. You also had asked me, it's been a good year, probably. After Patricia and Mark were able to attend the Board of Trustees Institute at Horseshoe Bay, that the Texas Association of Community Colleges, the Success Center, put on for the board. We came back with a plan of action, your commitment to action. You all know we reported on that this summer. You know where we are on that. We've been making progress on that. And one of the things you had wanted to do is you had wanted to have your own retreat, if you could do that. And so we had visited with them. They were planning, you'll recall, they were going to come. We were trying to set that all up. And then COVID happened. And so we've been trying for months to try to see if there would be a way that we could finally implement that. Well, again, we know that things have continued. But that doesn't work real well for us because we need to move on because we've got a vision statement and we've got to move on with our strategic plan as a part of where we are in our process. So I visited with Cynthia Farrell, who is, y'all will remember that name, and she is over the Success Center, and we've been trying to brainstorm how we could approach this for months. So our college is actually behind something that's about to happen, and what that is going to be, the Success Center, through the Community College Association of Texas Trustees, is going to put together a series of webinars that are going to start in January, and they're going to go through May. So it'll kind of coincide with what we're doing. But the very first one is going to be setting the strategic direction for student success. And so what they're going to do, they are going to put together monthly webinars that are going to help any board that is working on putting together a vision statement to have some guidance from, and they're putting together some individuals that have a lot of expertise to lead it. And the first one will be on Friday, January the 22nd from 1 to 2. You'll notice that specifically works. That's the Friday before your board meeting in January. Excuse me, your first board meeting and when you will be starting your process. So between now and then, you'll have the opportunity to reflect on those questions, and then we will begin to, on that Friday, we'll be able to have some additional guidance as far as how we might want to move with that. There'll be a webinar each month, as I said. What is going to be really it's going to work really well for the situation we find ourselves in is that webinar, you can participate from home, or we can put together a scenario where we can get together and we can participate in that webinar, and we'll find out how you all want to handle that. And then in the event that you can't participate live that day, because they would give you the opportunity to ask questions and that kind of thing during the actual webinar, but in the event that you already have a responsibility, you cannot participate, it will be recorded. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at, we shared the newsletter from the Success, well, actually it was from CAT, But they've already put on some webinars this fall, just trying to keep the boards involved and knowing what was going on. And if you watch any of them, they're excellent. And if you haven't, you might want to watch some of them. Just it may help your thought process. One that was particularly good, I thought, because of who we are, is the rural one, and because it's different. The community colleges that serve in rural areas are different, and so I thought that was a good one. So this is, again, all prep work for you as we get into our planning. I wish that we could have had them actually come. Someday, hopefully, we can. And this, again, will culminate with, right now, they are hoping that they're going to be able to have a Board of Trustees Institute in conjunction with the CAT conference in June face-to-face. If not, they'll do a virtual component. Everything's virtual right now, it seems. But anyway, so know that your leadership and your wanting to have something like this for you specifically has resulted in this for other community college trustees in the state of Texas, which I think is great. So, Mr. Chairman, out of all of that, the one thing that we need a motion on would be the procedural calendar, and, of course, I will answer any questions anybody might have.
Okay. You have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll move on to the COVID-19 response number 9.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let me move down here with you. All right. So, as you know, it's hard to believe. We're into 9. And you know what we do on a monthly basis. The most, I think, startling report this month is going to be, and thank you, Cindy, and Emma, are you getting it up there for everybody? As you know, we've been tracking what our confirmations look like across the service area since back in June when we had the opportunity to start pulling some of this information. And you can see that we've had some dramatic increases it's been across the service area, but for sure in Tom Green, Dawson, and Howard. Probably the biggest, most dramatic increase has been in Howard County over the last month. Going to the next slide. And of course, what this reflects is the number of confirmations that we have across the service area. Then you look at the next slide that's going to be active cases. And that for sure tells you the change that we've had. It's very dramatic as far as what is happening. Go to the next slide, and we're going to see recoveries. And we've had, when you look at that particular slide, you're going to see our Tom Green County has had the most recoveries, and we're making some progress there as far as the numbers. If you've been following the hospitalizations and what's happening across the state, and I know I talked about it at the last meeting too, we were in the Howard County is that particular hospitalization group, or they call it RAC, was moving into maroon. Tom Green was right there with it, La Mesa. Over the last few days, we've had a little bit of improvement which is a good thing, but we know that in the communities that we serve, people continue to hear reports about what's going on with hospitalizations and unfortunately, how many people are in ICU, how many are on vents. And I believe that what is happening is that it's becoming very personal. We were somewhat fortunate in the beginning that we didn't have as much in West Texas, and now we're understanding it in a whole different way because of the numbers of people that we're beginning to know and that are being impacted by the virus. It has certainly had an impact on us as an institution. You all know that, and the different kinds of changes we've had to make. As you move on into the report, if you get to page 12, you're going to see, as far as updates, we are beginning to do some CE trainings in the West Texas Training Center. We continue to confer with ISDs on potential changes in academic calendar. If a school district has to shut down or we're going to have to handle something differently, we try to stay right with all of our school districts, and we have a number of them, probably right around 26. It kind of varies by the semester, but I think we're right at 26 most of the time. Then our next, I'm sorry, I should have this easily to get. The next slide on service, the service area, we are seeing for financial aid an increased request. Well, yeah. Somehow I got a, yeah, 26. We're seeing increased requests for professional judgment. And what does that mean? It means that our financial aid people are having to, as opposed to a student having criteria that makes them qualified for financial aid, and then you can see it in the data you have, we're having more cases where our financial aid advisors are having to make professional judgment decisions to lower the student expected family contribution because of how people's lives are changing relative to employment and that kind of thing. And so, and again, that's due to the rise in unemployment in our area, and that certainly could be something to do with the pandemic, but also it has to do with just downturn in the economy in our part of the world. Page 24. We continue, though. We're still trying to recruit and do what we can to bring students in. And we've had a virtual booth, and that booth closed on November the 20th. We had 366 leads from visits to the booth, and so contacts are beginning with those students through email and phone calls. We have completed 14 FAFSA nights. FAFSA is the financial aid. What we do, we go out and we talk to the students and their parents, or we do virtuals as we've had to do in some cases. So that's been happening while we've been doing all that. We have also, on page 25, Brenda has her ninth report into the LBB on how we are faring in this pandemic. So it's been very interesting in that there's increased reporting without a doubt. Some of it has to do with the CARES Act money. Some of it just has to do in general how we're being impacted with the pandemic as we move into the legislative session. Page 27, student life. We've tried to do what we can in safe ways to give students some kind of student life opportunity. We've hosted virtual games and special events and some kind of a altered operation situation. We've hosted mobile blood drives. And we have provided outside activities as appropriate. But again, student life has been different, and the students are, they're doing their best to adapt as well. Page 29. At this point, and actually earlier, right after right at Thanksgiving, all students have moved out of the residence hall, and the cafeteria is now closed until January the 10th. As far as new products or special purchases, we continue to buy things for the isolation rooms that we have out at SWID. Y'all know that we're using our cottages at SWID for if we have the need for isolation. And we've had some of that for student residents. All right. When you get to the section that we begin to talk about upcoming decisions, page 37. Just as I mentioned, we're purchasing resources to support students or operations during the altered operation status. As I mentioned last time, we are still looking at infrared thermal screening stations and air purifiers for campuses as needed. That process continues. CARES funding. We'll provide the funding for that on page 38. We continue to monitor any potential actions that could be taken at the state level impacting budgets as the economy is strained. We continue to work with donors who are interested in providing support for students and employees that are struggling. Spring break decision, as I mentioned, we have made the decision to make no changes at this point. But we will continue to monitor as we have during the entire time to do anything that we need to do. On page 39, we have updated the Open Howard College Plan. I'll go over that in just a minute. We try to keep up with that on a daily basis almost. Our prison education programs, we're being flexible on those and do what we need to do relative to any adjustments that need to be made through the prisons. Daily decisions are made in regard to actions that are necessary for reported or determined exposures or confirmed cases. I can tell you that there's a lot of overhead that goes with all of this. Now, we're still looking at reopening of rentable spaces under consideration and implementation in some cases. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, we're still planning events if we're expecting, knowing that we're in the pandemic. We were trying to keep everything as much normal. Now we know we're in a pandemic. So we're planning that way, and then but we have a close plan B if we can get back to normal. The final things that are still under discussion: the Western Junior College Athletic Conference has had a couple of meetings in the last few weeks, and we are now that the spring season is really approaching us, and we're about to begin the basketball seasons, the softball, baseball, so forth. Those are our sports that we will have. There's conversation about how we're going to do this. We have some schools from New Mexico that are not even sure that they're going to be able to participate. That could impact who's playing whom, when. That's still a little bit up in the air, but they're at this point, the New Mexico colleges are really unsure. We also are talking about protocols, exact protocols that we'll use for games. There's even been discussion, it's not final yet, there's been even discussion about no fans just coming in playing ball, for basketball in particular. And so the determination was, let's see what happens over the next few weeks. And as you know, we started the season itself for basketball, which is the one that generally kicks off normally we'd be in it. But it was the one that would have been right there on top of us when we came back in January. But it's delayed purposefully, and so we will have a few weeks to be able to see. I did move over a page, I can tell now. We have our athletes coming back a little earlier than some of the other students, but we're trying to time that again in phasing so that it'll work as we move into the spring semester. Another impact of COVID has been several auditors, and ours being one of them, they're uncomfortable in issuing the final on the audit because at this point in time they do not have enough information on how the CARES Act money is to be accounted for, and it's a sizable federal grant, and so our auditors, again along with some other colleges, say that they can't complete the audit until they have that information. And so they're waiting for that, and that'll be another, like a month after receipt before they can complete the audit. We've already been in touch with the coordinating board, as have some others, and have asked for let them know that because the deadline to submit our audit, we're going to be past it. They gave us permission, and we're going to give them drafts without that information so that they can proceed with required reporting that they have to do, but we do have some extended grace that has been given to us. So that's that. Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and do the Open Howard College.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and so the only change that we have in the Open Howard College this time, this is going to be on page 3. Some of you who may follow what's happening with CDC guidelines, they did come out with some changes in quarantining. Instead of the 14-day period, they can go with 10 days, 7 days if you have a negative test. However, that is driven by what your local health authorities believe is best, and so we've been trying to keep up with that. And as of last week, our Tom Green one is kind of approaching it a little different as far as what we think they may be going to do in the Tom Green area. But the Howard County one is very specific in that they don't want to change the 14-day quarantine period because of what's happening. Now, that was when we were in the maroon. The fact that we're moving back a little bit into the really strong bright orange, I don't know if they'll change that, but I just based on and literally we got an email from them, I guess it was Friday, but we anticipate that that's probably not going to change for just a little bit, and they're going to probably want us to keep on 14 days. So that's what we're doing, and so what we basically have tried to do is just change, get across the fact that we are going to, under certain conditions, there could be a change, but based on current local health authority guidance, the quarantine period can be adjusted. At this time, it's still going to be 14 days. So that's what we're doing with that. All right, Mr. Chairman and board members, that's all of that. No approval.
So the agenda B item, and then performance measure outcomes, accountability measure, operational indicators.
All right. Another one of the accountability measures that we must do on an annual basis is our annual safety and fire reports. And we do those the fire safety and security for both the Howard College and SWID campuses. And so this is reported out, and this is shared for the world to know as far as what we if we've had any issues with fires. And you can see that things are, thank goodness, we don't have any issues with our any of those as far as any fires that would be of concern. Would remind everybody, early in the 75 years of Howard College, we did have, literally in the very beginning, had a gym burned down. And so, but that was 75 years ago. We like to keep it that way. And so we try to do what we can to make sure that things are safe. Our security report, too, is also reported out, and this goes on the website. Where's Fabian? All this goes on the website. Fabian and team prepared these, and so you can see how that looks. Fabian, would you want to say anything? I know I didn't ask you, but did you have anything you wanted as far as security specifically? Okay. Things look good. I mean, as far as when you don't have any students around on campus. I'm kidding. We do have some. But generally, things are. We tend to have just issues with breaking of liquor laws. You know, that kind of thing.
But this is for the 2019.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so they were around, able to. Yeah. Oh, same. Okay. And so, SWID, same thing. As far as the fire report, fire safety, things look good there. We want to keep it that way. And the report goes through and basically is a summary of the things that we're doing to keep try to prevent fires and protect people in case of a fire. Same thing for our SWID campus. We did have, get to that. As far as 2019, again, those liquor laws cause a problem. And sometimes dating violence as far as relationships, and we deal with those. But that's what we have on the annual safety and fire reports. And again, that is shared with the public, so students will know, parents will know, what kind of campuses their students will be coming to, and this is driven by some very sad things that have happened in the history of our country relative to tragic losses of young people in dorms and that kind of thing. And so, obviously, this is important. Okay, Mr. Chairman, that's it.
Okay, I need a motion to approve this annual safety report. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And both passes. Thank you very much. Financial indicators?
Okay. Nothing under financial or student
success. Yes. All right. Purchasing. Steve, you have something for?
Corporate Purchasing Services Incorporated.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. The agreement you've got from Cooperative Purchasing Services is an agreement between them and us to become a co-op purchasing member, which allows us to purchase without, they've done the bids for us. We do a lot of these, but we get your approval to do this, and this will be for future items that people can, employees can buy under this agreement.
Yeah, we go through this before, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Steve, just let's rattle off some of them so they know the names, like Byboard.
Byboard, TexMod, we're probably members of a dozen of them, different ones. This was recommended to us by Granger, who we do buy a lot of stuff from Granger, that said we would get better pricing if we used this particular co-op rather than the one we were using. And it opens up, after researching it, it opens up a lot of opportunities, and a lot of community colleges are members of this particular co-op, and so, you know, I think it'll be a good deal for us.
Sounds good.
And the way that it works, too, just so people understand.
The way it works is, again, like when I spoke the other day about the bid laws, 5,000, 10,000 is the general policy, 50,000 is state law. If you buy items over that, then you get bids. These co-ops, what they do is go in and do the bidding for us. And so it's when we become a member of it, we don't have to do that because it's already done. And so it just allows us not having to advertise in the paper, do the RFP. We can buy from that. And then, of course, we're going to keep it because so it's $50,000 insured for the part, but we can have to stay well by being a member of this co-op and doing it, abiding by their rules.
We also encourage our local vendors to become members of these things.
Yes, we do. And we've even given them names and numbers and contacts to try to encourage people to become members.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Comments? I need a motion to approve.
Mm-hmm.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Handbook channel changes.
Okay. As we discussed in this continuing reorganization that we have as a part of, again, stabilizing our institution with lots of the changes that we have in retirements and resignations and then just moving forward, again, as a part of this, our strategic plan and how we are moving forward, we continue to work on that. And so your org chart, you've been able to, we looked at that, discussed some of those changes that are happening. We have several positions that we have not filled on the executive cabinet. We have moved two positions into the cabinet level. Those will be the Human Resources Director, which will now be the Chief Human Resources Officer, and also our Dean of IT, which now will be Chief Technology Systems Data Security Officer. So that will be a change. Also, in this reorg that we're doing, as you all know, we talked about this again back in October and the changes that Amy is assuming, and we also, as I had mentioned, the administrative deans that now are going to be called executive deans for the San Angelo and SWID campuses. We have some others as we're doing this reorg that we're having changes of responsibility. We're addressing those. Another position that we are shifting around, the LAMESA campus position, is going to answer to the president's role as a, again, one of the campuses, and it's going to be a president staff level position. We have other things that are happening as a part of our reorg that we're very fortunate. We have our Title V grant that is, we're very excited because we believe that it's a part of that strategic plan, student success pathways, what we're trying to accomplish. And so we've got some people that are taking on different responsibilities, and we appreciate that. One person in the room is Cindy Smith, but one of the things that, again, that is so great about our group is the excitement that people feel about moving the institution forward and seeing opportunities, and so we're trying to do that and keep things moving. So this is one of the changes as far as handbook catalog changes, and those would be, as far as the org chart, will be both in the board handbook 3.1 and the employee handbook is policy 2.1. The other one that we have, we also have policy 4.9 that is one that relates to its policies and procedures for fundraising. And we have expanded that because we are moving into what we, again, I keep referring to, it's a great opportunity. We've, the 75th anniversary, we've been building on our alumni whole concept for a while, and I want to give credit to Julie. She's continuing to expand that. Steve is also part of that process. We're working on software that allows us to do that. But we also have the opportunity with a new board member Ben has pointed out some things that he has seen with some other groups that he has been involved with. And so we're trying to address the fact in this policy that when we have alumni data, we're not selling it, transferring it to another business entity for solicitation purposes of donors and alumni as a fundraising tool for the college. And that's something we've never done, but we're putting that in writing so that we can make that very clear that's not what we do. This already ties in. We have some of this in our information technology resources and acceptable use policy, but we want to expand on this some more. And so that's what that policy is about. And then there also will be a change in going back to some of the personnel things. We have a update on the broadbanding explanation that will be in the appendix of the the employee handbook. Okay?
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Need a motion on this resolution? On this handbook changes? Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much. Motion passes.
Can I just tell you what some of you may be interested in? My alma mater had decided recently to enter into an agreement with Liberty Mutual. Liberty Mutual was given access to all of their alumni data, which is many thousands of alumni. And they started sending out solicitation letters for auto insurance, basically saying that, you know, as an alumnus of the university and da da da, and it says right on there that the University Alumni Association has been money for your information and so forth. And let me tell you, it has caused a very big stink. And it's something truly that Howard College does not ever want to do.
I totally agree with that.
It has caused a big stink. People don't like
that. Yeah. And when Ben shared that, again, with the process that we already had going on, it was, the timing was perfect so that we could, because we want our alumni and donors to know that data we have, we're going to protect, and unless required by law, there's something that we have to release. But so much of that, it's different. It's not covered by FERPA, and so there's some different kinds of scenarios. I visited with the got legal guidance on some of it to make sure that it was a policy that we would not be passing, that we couldn't pass. If y'all.
Let me tell you that it has cost the university a significant amount of money, lost donations, requests, and so forth, because people are pissed.
Yeah.
And it's just not something you want to do.
Yeah.
Right. So we wanted to make this, I brought it to Dr. Sparks, because we just want to make really sure that Howard College never gets caught up in that kind of reserve for proceeds. The Alumni Association Board is a minor first attempt. Because, as you know, all of you know, I'm from Maine, and in Maine, everyone knows everybody. So the head of the Alumni Association literally used to be my state representative. I know him very well. He knows my parents. I mean, everybody knows everybody. So, of course, I immediately got the phone call. It all flowed. And now the Alumni Association Board is having to deal with it. So the burden, because the requests and so forth that they're not getting, and I understand, I've looked into it further, and I understand there are now several of these. Those are not really tied to the Alumni Association. It goes back to the university. So the university is having a fit, too, because this policy by the Alumni Association, that they entered into this partnership deal, is now costing the university itself money downstream.
Yep.
And so basically, it just, I mean, however you slice this dice, it just was bad. We all know these data broker kind of situations where they give you 20 cents a name or something or for all the information. And, I mean, it's just a bad thing to do. And I am just so pleased and grateful that Dr. Sparks checked it out, made sure, and absolutely made sure that Howard College will never get caught into that kind of stupidity.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that contribution.
Okay.
Our next item on the agenda is resolution for retirement for Jamie.
Yes, and Jamie's on the phone, so she does not know. We just have resolution for retirement, but this is officially Jamie's last board meeting. If you'll notice, it's been virtual for months. We've not been able to have Jamie here with us, but and we're going to be, we'll recognize her at a later date when we can get together. But Mr. Chairman, board members, if you'll allow me, I want to read this, so this, because she doesn't have it in front of her, so I'd like to read this. Resolution of December the 14th, 2020. Whereas Jamie Rainey has served as an employee of Howard College since 2007, dedicating her time, knowledge, and energy to the betterment of the college. And whereas Jamie Rainey has served in various workforce training positions as executive dean and most recently as workforce and community development officer for the San Angelo campus, expanding the influence of Howard College in the San Angelo area while gaining recognition as a tireless advocate and community leader for business and industry through involvement in community organizations. And whereas Jamie Rainey had a vision for the development of a robust workforce to meet the needs of the San Angelo area through the instructional avenues of Howard College, writing and managing numerous grants to achieve same. And whereas Jamie Rainey has spent countless hours focusing on the welfare of students, employees, the community, and the college district, thereby contributing to a better environment and outlook for many. And whereas Jamie Rainey has served Howard College, San Angelo, the Concho Valley area, and the Howard County Junior College District through her sincere interest and deliberate actions by establishing a foundation for future growth and opportunities, be it therefore resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Howard County Junior College District wishes to express our sincerest appreciation to Jamie Rainey for 13 years of outstanding service and best wishes for a successful retirement and happiness with family and friends.
Very good. Very good. I need a motion to approve this resolution.
Motion. Have a motion and have a second. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
All right. And Mr. Chairman and board members, let me just say that our plan is one of these days we're going to be dedicating the construction trades building. We're getting closer in San Angelo, and so we'll have an opportunity to do something in person at that point in time with Jamie. So thank you, Jamie.
Thank you all. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time here, and the board is an awesome group. You need to all stay on there. You have lots of future leadership roles here, so thank you. And I just appreciate all of your support. And for those of you that come also to the Howard College Financial Foundation, thank you for that as well, because that's really helped us as an organization here to know what's going on as a total. So thank you for all of your dedication and your time for the college. Wouldn't be where it is today without you. So thank you so much. And I will definitely cherish the resolution, and I will have that framed, and it will be on my wall at home to enjoy. So thank you so much.
That's great.
That's great.
All right, Mr. Chairman, you want me to finish
yes,
all the way?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. On your calendar, you can... For those of you who are a part of our San Angelo Foundation that Jamie was just referring to, we will have the virtual meeting on Wednesday. and that would be Freeman, Calvio, and Bennett, and you should have received information about that already. We will have this Friday will be the last day before winter break, and as in the past, I'd like to ask that you allow our employees to get off at noon on Friday. They have had quite the year, and so I really appreciate them, and I know you all do too. We then, offices open back up on the 4th. We have our phased dorm check-in beginning on the 5th, and that'll go over about a two-week period. The legislative session begins on the 12th of January. As I've mentioned before, that thing is looking like it's going to be quite unusual. As recently as, I guess it was last week, they're still talking a lot of virtual. They're also talking about the possibility of people that are going to come testify that they're going to have to do tests like 24 hours before, obviously test negative before they come. So it's going to be a very different session. They're still working on all those things, but we'll participate the way we can. Basketball will begin, as I've already mentioned in our other report, and the spring semester officially starts on January the 19th. We, at this point in time, plan to have, as we did in the fall, we'll have a little bit of everything as far as medium venues for our students to use, face-to-face, virtual, either online or Zoom or whatever. We're gonna provide all the different options again. Your next board meeting will be on January the 25th, and you will have you'll do your self-evaluation as a part of that meeting, and the rest of that again is going to be basketball. And then soon thereafter, we'll be moving into baseball, softball, and rodeo again. Okay, recognitions. You have several families that have expressed appreciation. There's a lot of sadness, as we all know. It's been a tough few weeks for a lot of people. Under Board of Education and Development, I've already mentioned what was going on with the Texas Success Center. TAT, Community College Association of Texas Trustees, shared their quarterly newsletter with you. Again, this will be what those webinars will relate to. There is enclosed in this some of the specific they have one of the legislative advocacy workshops as a part of that. They also have the policies that we, not policies, the platform that the community colleges are going to be advocating for in this session. The next month is going to be, we should know within the next month what that appropriations bill is going to look like. It's on the Senate side this time, so it's going to be Senate Bill 1. And we will be anxiously awaiting how that thing looks, so we'll know what we're going to be challenged with in the spring semester. Mr. Chairman and board members, that is all that I have, unless anybody has questions for me.
Any questions, comments? Authority granted to me by the governor of the state of Texas. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank
hey, we're
you
hanging
guys.
Up. Thank you all.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
I have a clue on how to get back to all over the board.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang